Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Narayanam namaskritya. Naram chaiva narutamam. Devim sarasutim vyasam. Tato jaya mudirayet. Before reciting the Srimad Bhagavatam, which is our very means of conquest, I want you to first of all offer respectful obeisances under the personality of Godhead Narayan, under Narayan Rishi's supermost human being, Srila Vyasadeva, the author, Saraswati, goddess of learning, Srila Prabhupada, our translator, commentator, and dear most spiritual master. Nasta praya shabhadreshu nityam bhagavata sevaya. Bhagavati uttama shloke bhaktir bhavati naishtiki. By regular attendance in classes on Srimad Bhagavatam and by rendering of service under the pure devotee, all that is inauspicious to the heart is almost completely destroyed. And thus loving service under the personality of Godhead, who is praised with transcendental songs, is established as an irrevocable fact. Continuing with Srimad Bhagavatam, we're on Canto 9, Chapter 24, Text number 58. Almost to the end of this chapter. And the title of this chapter is Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Yan maya cheshtitam pungsa stiti utpati apyayaya hi anugrahas tan nivritir atma labaya cheshyate. Cheshyate yanmaya cheshtitam pumsam. Yanmaya cheshtitam pumsa stidyut patyapyayayahi. Stidyut patyapyayayahi. Anugrahastan nivritir atma labhaya cheshyate yanmaya cheshtitam pumsa stidyutpatyapyayayahi anugrahastan nivritir atma labhaya cheshyate yanmaya cheshtitam pungsa sidyutpatyapyayayahi anugrahastan nivritir atma labhaya cheshyate. Yanmaya cheshtitam pungsa yatyapyayayahi anugrahastan nivritir atma labhaya cheshyate yanmaya cheshtitam pumsa sidyutpatyapyayayahi anugrahastan nivritir atma labhaya cheshyate yanmaya cheshtitam pungsa sidyupadyapyayayahi anugrahastan nivritir atma labhaya cheshyate. Yanmaya chestitam pumsa Siddhupatyapyayahi Anugrahasta nivritair Padmalabhaya chestite Yanmaya chestitam pumsa Deyupatyayayahi Anugrahasta nivrite Apmalabhaya chesyate. Any other men? Matijis? Yanmaya chestitam pumsa Siddhupatyapyayahi Anugrahasta nivrite Atmalabhaya chesyate. Yanmaya chestitam pumsa Siddhupatyayahi Nugrahasta nivritir Atmalabhaya cheshyate. Yat, whatever, maya cheshtitam, the laws of material nature enacted by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, pumsa of the living entities, shtiti, duration of life, upati, birth, apyayaya, annihilation, he, indeed, anugraha, compassion, tadnivrite, the creation and manifestation of cosmic energy, to stop the repetition of birth and death. Atmalabhaya, thus going home, back to Godhead. Cha, indeed, ishate, for this purpose the creation is there. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. The Supreme Personality of Godhead acts through His material energy in the creation, maintenance, and annihilation of this cosmic manifestation, just to deliver the living entity by His compassion and stop the living entity's birth, death, and duration of materialistic life. Thus, He enables the living being to return home back to Godhead. Please repeat. The Supreme Personality of Godhead acts through His material energy in the creation, maintenance, and annihilation of this cosmic manifestation, just to deliver the living entity by His compassion and stop the living entity's birth, death, and duration of materialistic life. Thus, He enables a living being to return home back to Godhead. Purport. Materialistic men sometimes ask why God has created the material world for the suffering of the living entities. The material creation is certainly meant for the suffering of the conditioned souls who are part of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, as confirmed by the Lord Himself in Bhagavad Gita, chapter 15, verse 7. Mamai vamso jivaloke jivabhuta sanatana manasastan indriyani prakritishtani karshati. The living entities in this conditioned world are my eternal, fragmental parts. Due to conditioned life, they are struggling very hard with the six senses, which include the mind. All the living entities are part and parcel of the Supreme Personality of Godhead and are as good as the Lord qualitatively. But quantitatively, there is a great difference between them. For the Lord is unlimited, whereas the living entities are limited. Thus the Lord possesses unlimited potency for pleasure, and the living entities have a limited pleasure potency. Anandamaya Bhyasat, Vedanta Sutra 1.1.12. Both the Lord and the living entity, being qualitatively spirit soul, have the tendency for peaceful enjoyment. But when the part of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, unfortunately, wants to enjoy independently without Krishna, he is put into the material world, where he begins his life as Brahma, and is gradually degraded to the status of an ant or a worm in stool. This is called Mana Shashtan Indriyani Prakriti Shtani Karshati. There is a great struggle for existence because the living entity conditioned by material nature is under nature's full control. Prakrite Kriyamanani Gunai Karmani Sarvasaha. Because of his limited knowledge, however, the living entity thinks he is enjoying in this material world. Manasastan Indriyani Prakritishtani Karshati. He is actually under the full control of material nature, but still he thinks himself independent. Ahankaravimudatma Kartaham Iti Manyate. Even when he is elevated by speculative knowledge and tries to merge into the existence of Brahman, the same disease continues. Aruya Krishrena Param Param Tata Patantyadaha Bhagavatam 10.2.32. Even having attained that Param Param, having merged into the impersonal Brahman, he falls again into the material world. In this way, the conditioned soul undergoes a great struggle for existence in this material world. And therefore the Lord, out of his compassion for him, appears in this world and instructs him. Thus the Lord says in Bhagavad Gita 4.7, Yada yada hi dharmasya glanir bhavati bharata abhyutanam dharmasya taratmanam shrijamyaham. Whenever and wherever there is a decline of religious practice, O descendant of Bharat, and a predominant rise of irreligion, at that time I descend myself. The real dharma is to surrender unto Krishna. But the rebellious living entity, instead of surrendering to Krishna, engages in adharma, in a struggle for existence to become like Krishna. Therefore, out of compassion, Krishna creates this material world to give the living entity a chance to understand his real position. Bhagavad Gita and similar Vedic literatures are presented so that the living being may understand his relationship with Krishna. Viraischa Savair Ameva Vedya, Bhagavad Gita 15.15. All these Vedic literatures are meant to enable the human being to understand what he is, what his actual position is, and what his relationship is with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. This is called Brahma Jigyasa. Every conditioned soul is struggling, but human life provides the best chance for him to understand his position. Therefore, this verse says, Anugrahas tan nivrite, indicating that the false life of repeated birth and death must be stopped and the conditioned soul should be educated. This is the purpose of creation. The creation does not arise whimsically as atheistic men think. Asatyam apratishtam te jagarahur anishwaram paras parasambhutam kimanyat kamahaitukam. They say that this world is unreal, that there is no foundation, and there is no God in control. It is produced of sex desire and has no cause other than lust. Bhagavad Gita 16.8. Atheistic rascals think that there is no God and that the creation has taken place by chance, just as a man and woman meet by chance, and the woman becomes pregnant and gives birth to a child. Actually, however, this is not the fact. The fact is that there is a purpose for this creation, to give the conditioned soul a chance to return to his original consciousness, Krishna consciousness, and then return home, back to Godhead, and be completely happy in the spiritual world. In the material world, the conditioned soul is given a chance to satisfy his senses, but at the same time, he is informed by Vedic knowledge that this material world is not his actual place of happiness. For happiness. Janma Mrityu Jaravyadi Dukkha Doshanu Tarshanam. Bhagavad Gita 13:9. One must stop the repetition of birth and death. Every human being, therefore, should take advantage of this creation by understanding Krishna and his relationship with Krishna, and in this way return back home, back to Godhead. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Yanmaya chishtitam pumsa sit yutpat yapyayayat hi anugrahas tan nivritir atma labaya chasyate. The Supreme Personality of Godhead acts through his material energy in the creation, maintenance, and annihilation of this cosmic manifestation just to deliver the living entity by his compassion and stop the living entity's birth, death, and duration of materialistic life. Thus, he enables the living being to return home, back to Godhead. Om Agyana Timanandasya Gananjana Salakaya Chakshur Unmilitam Jena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. I was born in the darkest ignorance, but by his causeless mercy, my eternal spiritual master, Om Vishnu Pad Paramahamsa Parirajikacharya Ashtatarasari Shri Shiman Shri Esi Bhaktivaranda Swami Shri Prabhupada has forced my eyes open with the torchlight of knowledge. Therefore, I offer my most humble obeisances under his lotus feet. How can I ever forget his mercy upon me? So we're getting to the end of the ninth canto of Srimad Bhagavatam here, and we've been progressing from the lotus feet of the Lord in the first canto to the Lord's legs, his thighs, his abdomen, his chest, his neck, and finally getting up to the smiling face of the Lord, which is only a few more verses ahead here. And at the end of the chapter here, now we're going through the complete genealogical table leading up to the appearance of Sri Krishna. And it's been mentioned by other class givers also, how, and there's somewhere back here also, there's a benediction, or maybe several benedictions given from one who simply hears the glories of these great personalities. And why is it so glorious to hear about these great personalities? Because most of them are pure devotees of the Lord. And by hearing of these great devotees of the Lord, Krishna, Supreme Personality Godhead, is pleased. In fact, we know that we cannot please God directly. We don't have that qualification, but we can please God by the mercy of his representatives. So therefore, on several different levels, it's quite appropriate that we're reading all these names of these great personalities. Indeed, just by reciting, hearing their name, one becomes infused with all kind of pious credits. So now the purpose of Krishna's advent is being explained in these verses. And as the verse here explains, that through the material energy, creation, the maintenance, and the annihilation of the cosmic manifestation, its purpose actually is to deliver the living entity back home, back to Godhead. Beginning in the purport, Srila Prabhupada says that materialistic men sometimes ask, why has God created the material world for the suffering of living entities? And that question often comes up among other religious processes, many of which are very materialistic. And the question arises, if God is all good, if he is all cognizant, which means he understands how much we're suffering, and he's all good, and he's all cognizant, all good, and he's aware of our suffering. He's all powerful as well. He has the power to mitigate it. Then why doesn't he just appear to mitigate our suffering? So this question, as many other questions that are posed by materialistic persons, can't really understand because, I mean, we can't really, not even really qualify to ask a question like that. It indicates that we don't even really understand who we are. So that's really the beginning. Because this world is relative, and everything is relative upon something else. And as the Vedas tell us, we all have the tendency to project our own illusory conception into the world, and our false ego is so great that there's no way we can directly understand and get a satisfactory answer when we don't even really know what the right question is. Srila Prabhupada actually states that until one actually surrenders to the bona fide spiritual master, he's not actually even qualified to ask questions of the spiritual master. So first of all, we have to hear. And so it's becomes clear here by Krishna what the actual purpose for the creation of this material world is. And the suffering that we experience in this world, we can understand now, is actually very necessary. Because if this world was simply a wonderful place and we didn't experience the pernicious effects of the threefold miseries in so many different forms of suffering, then we'd start to become attached to this material existence. But because our attachment to this material world and to trying to enjoy separate from Krishna is so strong, it's so strong that indicates how long we've been here in the material world, which is practically since time immemorial. And so it's very difficult for us to gain proper understanding, and impossible, in fact, simply through the process of analyzing material nature, and even analyzing through the process of neti-neti, understanding what we are by what we aren't. This process, we can gradually develop knowledge, but it takes many, many thousands and thousands of lifetimes to do so. So in the last verse here, Srila Prabhupada mentions, I mean, in the last verse from Bhagavad Gita mentioned here, he mentions the verse from Bhagavad Gita. And let's just go read that verse, because it's pretty appropriate to what we're reading here. Chapter 16, verse number 8. And Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, says, they say that this world is unreal, with no foundation, no God in control. They say it is produced of sex desire and has no cause other than lust. And let's read the purport. The demoniac conclude that the world is phantasmagoria. There is no cause and effect, no controller, no purpose. Everything is unreal. They say that this cosmic manifestation arises due to chance, material actions, and reactions. They do not think that the world was created by God for a certain purpose. They have their own theory. The world has come about in its own way, and there is no reason to believe that there is a God behind it. For them, there is no difference between spirit and matter, and they do not accept the Supreme Spirit. Everything is matter only, and the whole cosmos is supposed to be a mass of ignorance. According to them, everything is void, and whatever manifestation exists is due to our ignorance in perception. They take it for granted that all manifestation of diversity is a display of ignorance. Just as in a dream we may create so many things which actually have no existence, so when we awake, we shall see that everything is simply a dream. But factually, although the demons say this life is a dream, they are very expert in enjoying this dream. And so instead of acquiring knowledge, they become more and more implicated in their dreamland. They conclude that as a child is simply the result of sexual intercourse between man and woman, this world is born without any soul. For them, it is only a combination of matter that has produced the living entities, and there is no question of the existence of the soul. As many living creatures come out from perspiration and from a dead body without any cause, the whole living world has come out of the material combinations of the cosmic manifestation. Therefore, they say material nature is the cause of this manifestation, and there is no other cause. They do not believe in the words of Krishna in Bhagavad Gita, Maya Dakshena Prakriti Suyate Sacharacharam, that under my direction the whole cosmic world is moving. In other words, among the demons there is no perfect knowledge of the creation of the world. Every one of them has one interpretation of the scripture. According to them, one interpretation of the scriptures is as good as another, for they do not believe in a standard understanding of the scriptural injunctions. So they're, as Bhagavad Gita says, besides this material nature, O Arjuna, there is a superior energy of mind which is sustaining this material world. And so because of our coming here with a desire to exploit material nature and to try to become the Supreme Personality of Godhead, therefore this whole material world is moving. So it becomes obvious then that we have to back up and understand that the actual cause of suffering is this. It's cause of our illusory understanding of who we are. And this example of Srila Prabhupada gives also, such as at night one perspires and then living entities appear to be born out of the perspiration. He also gives the example that out of a bowl of rice, sometimes it's seen that scorpions seem to just walk out of the rice. It can be observed sometimes, baby scorpions come out of the rice. And to an ignorant person or a child seeing that, he may jump to the conclusion that, the scorpions are being born out of the rice. But we know, if we study and observe, that the mother scorpion is actually laying her eggs in the rice, and that the scorpions are being hatched and are coming out of the rice. So similarly, everything in this material world, Srila Prabhupada states that an intelligent person, if he observes nature, he has to come to the conclusion that there is a God, because there's no other logical conclusion that one can come to. So it's mentioned, since we're getting close up to Krishna's advent here in the 10th canto, there's a nice, in the subsequent verses, there's a nice section of the purport. Because it's Krishna explains here why he comes to the material world. And we've heard this again and again, very famous verse. Yada yada yidharmasya, to to execute the principles and enact the principles of religion, and to paritranaya sadhanam vinashaya chadushkritam, to give protection to the faithful and to annihilate the miscreants. So Srila Prabhupada says in a purport to come, he says, to advance in human life, human society must follow the Vedic principles personally demonstrated by Lord Krishna in his household life. And then in the next sentence, and this was very kind of significant when I read it, and this is going to kind of be the last thread of my class today. He says, the real purpose of Krishna's appearance, however, was to manifest how one can take part in loving affairs with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. I'll read that again. The real purpose of Krishna's appearance, however, was to manifest how one can take part in loving affairs with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So everything Krishna does when he comes as an incarnation into this material world is to attract us, is to come to the point of having loving pastimes with his devotees, which are the real thing that is going to attract us back home, back to Godhead. So this process of Krishna consciousness, this process of sadhana bhakti, it's just that. It's a process. And it's helping us come to the point where we can develop our spontaneous love for Krishna. And as we develop our spontaneous love for Krishna, then we can come to the point of tasting the real fruit of all our practice. And the real purpose of Krishna's coming to the material world is to enact pastimes with his intimate devotees and allow us the chance to attain that stage of becoming an intimate devotee of Krishna, and returning, as the purport indicates, in this very after this very lifetime, back home, back to Godhead. And then in the last sentence, Srila Prabhupada says that reciprocations of loving affairs in ecstasy are possible only in Vrindavan. Therefore, just after his appearance as the son of Vasudeva, the Lord immediately left for Vrindavan. So because I've been staying in Vrindavan for almost the past year, on and off, a lot of devotees have been asking me, like, what it's like living in Vrindavan, what it's like, you know, having a service that's directly connected with serving in the Dham. And my service is, I'm in charge of 24-hour kirtan, which actually, what I tell devotees, I'm just a servant of the kirtan devotees. And our program is a minimum of 6 hours. Every devotee in the ashram must chant in the temple room kirtan for 6 hours a day. And this process is incredibly purifying. And so it's been a wonderful opportunity for me to live in Vrindavan and to execute devotional service in Vrindavan. It's mentioned that the benefit of performing our service in Vrindavan, whatever benefit we get out of one day's performing devotional service in any other place other than the Holy Dham, in the Dham it's magnified 100 times. And during Kartik and during Purushottama Mas, which comes every 3 years, it's magnified 10 times more than that. So you can feel it just living in Vrindavan. I actually had the misfortune of having an accident a couple times back to back and broke a couple bones. And so I spent practically all of Kartik on my back, a lot of it, and a lot of Purushottama Mas in my back. I wasn't able to perform much of any other austerities. And I came to the realization that just living in Vrindavan and breathing the air and following the principles and chanting Hare Krishna, it's so incredibly purifying. Krishna is personally present there. So much present, in fact, that I've realized how little qualification I have to live in Vrindavan. And so I have to come back about every 3 months. And also I feel that Prabhupada wants me to do that, to whatever purity I've gotten in Vrindavan, to come back and you know, share it out on Harinam. And actually I told Vaishesika Prabhu, the more I sit down and chant in Vrindavan, the more I'm inspired to come back and preach and distribute books in the U.S. So, of course, it's so inspiring to be in a place like New Dwarka Dham, where, you know, the Savasavu, and there's so much, you know, enthusiasm towards book distribution here. So actually what I wanted to do for just the last few minutes here is to read some amazing quotes that kind of help us enter into the bhav, or into the mood of a great devotee who was so attached to living in Vrindavan. That's Prabodhananda Saraswati, who was resided in Sri Rangam, was a Sri Vaishnava, great devotee of the Lord. He became converted by Lord Chaitanya. Lord Chaitanya met him, came to Sri Rangam, and he became a Gaudiya Vaishnava. He was actually the uncle of Gopal Bhatta Goswami, and used to daily read Srimad Bhagavatam and discuss it with Gopal Bhatta Goswami. And he wrote a book called Vrindavan Mahimamrita. And so here he's sharing some of his amazing realizations. He says that meditating on the lotus feet of Sri Radha Murali Mohan, placing myself at the dust of Lord Chaitanya's feet, and respectfully offering obeisances to the great devotees of the Lord, who are so many oceans of transcendental virtue, I shall now happily begin to praise the transcendental opulences of Sri Vrindavan Dham. O Sri Vrindavan, please reveal in my heart your wonderful transcendental form of the most confidential spiritual knowledge and bliss. Whoops, sorry, I lost it. Embarrassed to describe the highest nectar, the Upanishads say only, not this, not this. Where are you described? Think of Vrindavan with love. Roll in its dust. Love it ardently. Please, its moving and non-moving residence, worship Sri Radha's birthplace. With all your heart, take shelter of Sri Vrindavan, the best of all holy places. If someone relates to me the faults of one of the moving or non-moving residents of Vrindavan, then how is his action different from cutting me with hundreds of sharpened swords, arrows, and other weapons? The residents of Vrindavan are all as dear to the personality of Godhead as his own life. If one is a little bit inimical to even a blade of grass in Vrindavan, then who will be able to rescue him from the horrible hell that awaits him? When will that rescue occur? May the land of Sri Vrindavan, where Subal and the other wonderful cowboys, who are all dear friends of Sri Krishna, play, where Lalita and the other splendidly beautiful young gopis, who are all filled with love for Srimati Radharani, enjoy transcendental bliss, and where Shishi, Radha Krishna, thirst to enjoy wonderful transcendental amorous pastimes day and night, become manifest in my heart. If one studies the Upanishads for a long time, he will not obtain even an atomic particle of the transcendental sweetness as a result of his study. On the other hand, simply by residing in Vrindavan, one will become quickly drowned in an ocean of transcendental nectar. May that supreme abode of Vrindavan become manifest within my heart. When, patiently tolerating hundreds of kicks, millions of insults, and the constant onslaught of hunger, thirst, cold, heat, and hundreds of other sufferings, penniless, agitated, shedding a great shower of tears, and calling out the names of Sri Sri Radha Krishna in a piteous voice, will I wander in this land of Vrindavan? Today or tomorrow, this worthless material body... Today or tomorrow, this worthless material body will leave me, and all the material happiness connected with it will also leave. Because material happiness is temporary, it should be understood to be only a mirage of the real happiness. Oh, my mind, please abandon this false happiness and enjoy the real eternal happiness of devotional service within the land of Vrindavan. My body may be decorated with beautiful garments and ornaments, or it may burn with terrible disease. I may be praised or defamed with millions of words. I may become the master of all wealth, or I may be reduced to abject poverty. I may be free from all suffering, or I may be a living corpse. Whatever my condition is, I shall always take shelter of the transcendental land of Sri Vrindavan, the source of all bliss. Don't do anything. Don't say anything. Forget everything you've seen. Remember the fair and divine couple that pains Kamadev. Flee from the common people and go to transcendental Vrindavan. He who gives up the company of ordinary people, keeps no servants or followers, agitated with the desire to serve Sri Sri Radha Krishna, constantly sheds tears, his hands placed on his cheeks, and lives in Vrindavan, is the most fortunate of all persons. O friend, please control your mind and senses and go and live in Vrindavan, which is a mine of nectar and which is so glorious that even millions of books by the greatest poets and philosophers cannot describe even a single ray of light from the host of jewels of its virtues. When will we go to the forest where Lord Damodar celebrates a great festival of transcendental amorous pastimes? When will our hearts become charmed by the sight of the beautiful gopis? When will we no longer travel on the darkly shaded path of this temporary world? When will we no longer spend our time trying to enjoy the fruits growing in the jungle of this world? When will we worship the two oceans of nectar in our shining hearts? Who is your beloved wife? Who is your son? With a steady mind, think about death. Will you see death today? Transcendental Vrindavan is your only shelter. Sri Vrindavan Dham ki jai. Granth Raj Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Go Premanandi.